The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Good morning, Koigu people. This is Saturday. This is Kiowa Talk, Jopo and Mary Helen Deer, created by the late J.T. Goombay, and this is Saturday, April 3rd at 8 o'clock. The sponsors for the Kiowa Talk program here on New Country 985 KACO are Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, District 4 Citizen Susan Campbell, and District 7 Citizen Lawrence Spotted Bird. And here in the studio with us today is Leonard Kozad Jr., who is going to say a few words, and then he's going to give the opening prayer for the show. So, Leonard, go ahead.
Oh, Shaggy. You know, I just want to say my appreciation to this radio station here in Chickasha, the sponsors of this program. And I thank my Siggy, Joey Poe, my sister Mary Helen Deer, and the others are going to come after us from the Kiowa Nation. And I want to say thank you again from the bottom of my heart. I'm cold, fake dog. You go, honey, I go, key, they sound go. They go, by ball, they go, they go, in my own time, my dog. He go, so long, go, bean, they go, I told it. Out there, go, ain't time to go, dog. He go, know him, dog. Only tiger donkey Toledo, Jesus Christ. They go, so go bean, they go, man, I go, man, I told you, though, donkey go, no, no, own time. They go, ain't go, COVID-19 virus, go, only call it, dog, donkey go, how you go, ain't time to go, no, go, tiger, go, ain't they, to my, I go, I go, ain't time to, ain't go, they go, go, I don't, ain't go, hey go, bean they go, tiger, I told that dog, he go. Hey go, bean they can hear dog, go. How they go, I'm Tom, dog, he go, know him, dog. Only tiger, dog, he tell him, dog. Thank you, dear God, for another beautiful day. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the Kiowa people that are around this area. Thank you for everything, dear God. Amen.
Thank you, Leonard, for that beautiful prayer. And, the next part of the show is we're going to have Ray Doya on, and Mary Helen Deer will take over from here.
This week, we are happy to have Ray Doya, a Kiowa veteran, here to speak with us and talk about his life and his experiences and the Oklahoma Indian Bikers Association. So, Ray, we'll let you start.
Okay, my name is Ray Doya, and I was born at the Lawton Indian Hospital, like most other people, in 1942. And so, as a when I left the hospital, my home was at my grandma and grandpa's place, Lizzie and Ralph Appetone, west of Carnegie. And that was an idyllic spot. We had horses, cows, and chickens, and dogs.
Is that Fred, where Fred was living?
Yeah, that's...
Okay, so that was just south of my place.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, so... up until... Well, I followed Grandpa around because my parents were divorced. And so Grandpa was my role model. He was my teacher. He was my everything, you know. And he made bows for me and arrows at Christmas time. I could always depend on five or six arrows under the Christmas tree. I knew what they were, you know, wrapped up in paper. But he always did that for me. And bows, he'd made all kinds of bows for me over the years. But he had a team of horses, and that was real fun to follow him around. And he let me drive occasionally. We'd go get wood. We go to town on Saturday and sell cream and eggs at the co-op. So that was fun. And then we'd go down to watch the movie, Tom Mix or something like that. They'd give us a quarter. With that quarter, we'd go to the show for a dime, and then we could buy a hamburger for 15 cents and a soda. So that was a really treat, a really big treat. But it was and go swimming in the Washita River and go fishing all over anywhere we wanted to go, you know. It was just like it was a charm to be raised that way. And they didn't speak Kiowa too much to us kids. Mom and everybody else spoke Kiowa, but they would talk among themselves. But when they came time to talk to us, because they want us to be learn English, and which they did, you know. So I was always regretted not being taught Kiowa, but that's okay. You know, we have teachers now, and we're trying to revive it. But anyway, I went to school at Carnegie in the first grade, and then I went to Fort Sill Indian School in the second grade, and then Oklahoma City at Emerson Grade School, third through the sixth grade. And I went to Central High School, where I knew Mary Helen Deere, and from the seventh grade on up to ninth grade, no, 10th grade, and then 11th and 12th, I went back to Carnegie, which was... I lived with Grandma and Elmer. I mean, Fred, my uncle. So I got to, there was no, in Oklahoma City, it was kind of bad influence. So in Carnegie, all you had to do was hop on a bus, go to school, and you had to ride home on the bus. So you were captivated, but it was fun getting off the bus, go jump on a horse and ride. Didn't do much homework, but I rode my horse a lot. But that was fun. Grandma was a great person, good cook. We had an old wooden stove, big stove in the kitchen. Then we had a heating stove in the living room. And in the cold weather, we would put a blanket over that stove in the living room, and that was how we would heat our blankets and go to bed in a cold room. Everything was cold because everything was heated by wood. But then I joined the military after high school because everybody else was joined. There was no jobs around there except driving a tractor for 50 cents an hour, and I wasn't going to do that. I didn't want to be a farmer anyway. So I joined the Air Force by just walked up to the first place and on Robinson Street or Broadway, and then joined up, and that was the best thing that ever happened to me because when I joined up, I was physically fit for air traffic control, and that's where they sent me to school. And I learned a good trade, and I used that trade after I got out. But in the meantime, I went to Vietnam in 66, 67. And that was a turning point in my life. I learned a lot there, and I had all of my friends there, we had a brotherhood, and it was like we were real close, but you lose contact of them after the war's over. And you return home and you go into civilian life. Well, I tried to contact those people. And the only one guy I know I was able to contact with, and he lives in a cave in Kentucky. That's what the war did for him. And so for me, I eventually went to college when I was 49 years old. And that was a change in my life because I was in bad shape physically, mentally. And I sat and when I got out of the hospital, I went to mom's house and I started writing because it was I had a lot of time on my hands and I learned a lot. I wrote poetry and stories and now I'm doing working on the history of my great-grandpa Appetone, a bio.
Oh, you're doing that with Dr. Kennedy, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I wanted somebody to assist me, you know, point me in the right direction. He knows some publishers, he knows some editors, he knows some ghostwriters and stuff like that. So I've got all the information, thanks to my aunt. She went to college. She could gather the information that no one else knows about yet. Oh. And also my mother told me stories about Appetone. And I had to write everything down because when the Cradle Project started by Barbara Hale came through, she had us write essays. So that got Mom and me to writing, too. And she was a wealth of information and stories about our family that no one else knows about, which I think everybody in the tribe should get busy and start writing down what they know about the history of their family, because each family has different stories. Like one time we was coming going up to with your mother Barbara up to Devil's Tower, and Grandmom told me the story of the seven girls chased by their brother, turned into a bear, chased up the Tsoad, is what Mom told me to say. That's the name of Devil's Tower, not Devil's Tower. Right. And different tribes have different names. Bear Cave is a Sioux, and Blackfeet has a story. But we have our story about that Devil's Tower, or Tsoad means rock tree in Kiowa. And that was part of my history lesson, uncovering everything. We have two letters written by Appetone when he made that year-long journey up to see Wovoka to uncover some facts or the truth about the Messiah. Wovoka had a dream about a Messiah when he was sick. And so that's what I want to highlight in this, his biography, his long trip. He couldn't speak any English. And so a lot of it was done through sign language. He had an interpreter, a cousin who was Cheyenne, that accompanied him, and he had to hire different guides or interpreters along the way. But he went by horseback and buggy and train all the way up to Mason Valley, Nevada, where Wovoka lived, and he found him in a cellar. And he thought he'd kind of heard about the Christian religion, and he thought maybe this guy, if he was a Messiah, he should be able to speak and understand every language, you know, Kiowa. So he started talking to him, and the guy was, you know, no response. So he says, well, that's, you know, he Wovoka told him, or Jack Smith, same guy, he told him that, no, those stories didn't happen that way. They were misconstrued as the stories spread to the east and among other tribes. So anyway, that's what I want to point out, because that's what some of the historians wrote about Appetone. And there was a guy named Scott. He wrote a book called Indian or Sign Talk. And Dr. Kennedy, told me about that book, so I ordered it. One was $200, and the other one was like $19. And it tells more information than I've ever seen.
Did
about
you just get the book?
Oh, yeah, I got them at the house. Oh. And I'm highlighting them, getting the important points out. But it's all about, a lot about Appetone. And Methven, the method, the preacher that was living among the Kiowas, he has written about Appetone, too. So that's a valuable resource. Another valuable resource is the Smithsonian. Mooney came and took pictures for the Smithsonian of Appetone, the whole family. And so he wrote about Appetone's journey up north in detail for the Smithsonian. So that's in, I forget what the number, volume something. And so I've got tons and tons of a file cabinet with a drawer from front to back full of stuff on Appitone. And so it's just part of my research. I learned how to do research in college, and that was I had a wonderful composition teacher, English teacher, and so that's where I got the love for writing poetry and publishing my own poetry and sharing it with different people. My poetry is esoteric. You can't read it in front of a white audience. I've done that before in Rhode Island and out in the museum in Arizona, Heard Museum, and it kind of goes over their head. And so, but Indians really like it. Dr. Rhodes likes one of my poems called Powwow Chairs. And some of my stuff has been broadcast on radio stations up in Indian country up north, out west in Navajo country. So I enjoy sharing my poetry. And it's all Indian theme based about my life.
Do you have a short one you'd like to tell right now?
I didn't bring anything with me. I got to put that in my bike.
Well, you know, we'll have you on again, and you can do that.
Okay, sure. Right. I'd like that. I mean, any questions?
I'm learning things about you, Ray, that I never knew before, and it's just wonderful. And I look forward to when your book is finished. You touched on being a veteran in Vietnam and being in the Air Force. I'd like to know about your activities with the Oklahoma Indian Bikers Association.
Okay, the Oklahoma Indian Bikers is not a veterans group. We accept anybody, any ethnicity or any non-Indian. And we have about 16 different tribes that belong there, and Sioux, Comanche, Cheyenne, Arapaho, Creek, Oto, just whole gambit. In one of our best, we have 39, which represents the 39 tribes of Oklahoma. We wear all our stuff that where we've been, the rides, people that we know that have died. We have patches for them, and I have 7 vests, and they're all, one's Kiowa, one's for the Oklahoma Indian Bikers, one's for the Hog Group I belong to, and 7 vests. You know, we travel a lot, and wherever you go, you pick up patches. But Oklahoma Indian Bikers is a nonprofit, and we do charity work. One of our projects is Murrow Indian Children's Home, and we take them presents. We collect presents for them at Christmas time. Make sure they have a good Christmas, you know. And we go up there, and one of our members has arranged for a fire truck with Santa Claus, and he's the Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And they come out to the facility out there with the lights blaring and the sirens going, so that's a real treat for the kids. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have 12 kids. That's the last time they had 12 kids. Sometimes they have 20. It varies, but they're basically they have a bad lifestyle because mm-hmm. of drugs and alcohol. And so that's a retreat. One of our members went there. One of our president of our bikers, Oklahoma Indian Bikers, Henry Sleeper. So we have a connection along with the Hog Group. We have a place out in Tipton that we just started taking presents out there and supporting them and giving money, getting money for them, you know. So not only that, we do. We go to a lot of funerals. We ride escort. We rode escort for one of our members that died from south of Chickasha into town. We had escorts of 2 fire trucks and other fire equipment blocking the road for us. And then the police, 2 in back and 2 in front, to lead us into this small Indian church. So we do a lot of escort. We do parades. Creek, the Chickasaw Nation Parade. We do Red Earth. We do we do a lot of parades. We go to. We have asked to be flag bearers during the parades at the powwows. We do a lot of powwows, but with the coronavirus, everything's kind of dropped off, you know. Yeah. But this Saturday we're going to a wild onion dinner at Springfield United Methodist Church, southeast of Okemah.
Okemah, yeah.
Tuesday, we've been asked escort. I guess somebody was killed. Three people were killed. Two people were killed in Midwest City or somewhere up there, Indian. And so we're going to do an escort for them Tuesday, which is part of our organization. We'll wear our colors and ride our motorcycles.
You were telling me earlier about some veterans activities that you're involved with.
Okay. What I'm doing is raising, we've raised the funds already, and the monument for Simone Indian Cemetery, it's KCA, it's my old family cemetery. It's not only belongs to us, but it belongs to the tribe and the community. But it's Simone, which is 2 miles west of Carnegie, and it's going to be a 6-foot tall monument with all the veterans' names on it, starting with...
Is that where Cliff Reeder was?
Cliff Reeder was the last name on the bottom of 23 names.
All right.
And he was a Marine. So we have our names, their names, and the branch of service. And so we meet up there every Memorial Day, and we have a small ceremony. But now we're going to have the tombstone, maybe this Memorial Day, but if not, the following Memorial Day. But it's going to be beautiful. Mm. And we got it from the Chickasha Monument Company. She's working with us on that. So the tribe donated $1,000 for our efforts, and also the Kiowa Veterans Center donated $500. So we're going to have maybe $200 left over, but that's going to be for added stuff inside the cemetery to protect the tombstone. Mm. And
I was going to ask if you needed more donations.
Oh, yeah, we'll take anything because, you know, hopefully this movement will start other communities thinking about their veterans, and maybe they can erect a tombstone, not a tombstone, but a monument mm-hmm. for their veterans, because I think, you know, veterans work is really important to mm-hmm. me. So that's the way I feel, and that's the way we are, and we honor all our veterans. When the World Trade Center came down, we escorted one of the steel beams from Oklahoma City to Hobart to the General Tommy Franks Educational Institute out there. And we do all that. We do a moving wall. We did escort a moving wall replica of the real thing from Tulsa to Norman. And there was somewhere around 300 or 400 bikes on that run. And it was really an honor to do that for the ones that aren't here.
We're almost out of our time here, a lot of time. I want you to stay here because we still have another guest that I think you should interact with. But for donations, where should we send donations?
Send them to me, Ray Doya, and you can find my name on my site on Facebook. But Ray Doya, 1519 South Mission, Anadarko, Oklahoma, 73005-5801. And what we don't use, if this movement continues to grow, it'll help somebody else too. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to get the road graveled in there, but the KCA is supposed to do that, but I don't know if they got the funds or not, but we'd like to get a cattle guard, and that was one of our... We had a cattle guard, but he died, and that's no longer viable. So we'd like to improve that place, put a fence around it, because the cows can they destroy a tombstone and rub against it and knock it over. So we'd like to improve and put trees around that place, too. Mm. Some of our family members have put trees up. That's
okay. And, Joe, can you post that information?
Yes. That information will be posted up on Kiowas for a Better Future, and I'll get with Ray, and we'll, so you guys, if you want to donate to the organization, we'll make sure that information is readily available. So, Ray, thank you for coming on and being the Kiowa Elder of the Week. I'd like to ask you to stay in the studio because we're going to bring on another guest now that like Mary Hamlin Deer said, we'd like you to interact with. So, Warren, next on the show is Warren Wheaton, and he is going to discuss some things about veterans and some programs and some other things. And so I'll let Warren, you go ahead and take over.
My name is Major Warren Wheaton. I currently serve as the commandant for our officer candidate school for the state of Oklahoma. And a veteran, I served in Afghanistan, Kuwait, and Iraq. It's really been a good experience for me. I think it goes back to our old way of our Kiowa warriors, you know, our traditions. We were never one unit as a tribe, as a nation. We used to be structured under the old band system, who were led by war chiefs, and the warriors followed their leaders in that way. And I think we are fortunate as a tribe that structure, that warrior structure is still intact within our nation today. And we see that in the large number of veterans that have served in the armed forces and the large number of people that are a member of our different societies in the community. I like to think of it as kind of an extension of that old style of becoming a warrior in our tribe. You know, if we think back to the old days, our old people taught us a way of becoming a part of the tribe through our expressions of our identity. And I think about growing up, I grew up as a little rabbit. Olai or Polayo. Grew up around my grandfather, who taught us a lot about being Kiowa. Wanted us to grow up and be good warriors, and he eventually was accepted into the Thine Face Society and the Tolkonga, which we still have to this day. So I think it speaks volumes about our young people and the way they stand up and volunteer to be a member of the armed forces, even though the United States government did so much to assimilate us into general society, it's still a way for our young people to go out and serve their country. And I really enjoy the camaraderie that Ray was talking about with his brothers in arms. I think there's a special bond you develop when you serve overseas, and you never forget those bonds because your battle buddies, as I like to call them, they have your back. They are your support system, just like a family. That's how they operate. And thankfully, I've come home 3 times, and I still keep up those relationships. The military has been a good way for me to access education benefits, and I want to talk about that. You know, a lot of our young people, I work as the director of higher education for our Kiowa tribe. A lot of our young people are even exploring, you know, how am I going to fund my education? And I know one resource is even the National Guard, whether it be Naval Reserve, Army Reserve, Marine Reserve, you know, they have a lot of options. And I tell you what, they will pay for a lot of your educational benefits. But it comes with a service requirement. It comes with training. And I think a lot of people forget about, you know, that there are options for them to fund their education. It's just it needs to be explored. I'm glad here to kind of talk about veterans, but, you know, I'm also here to talk about educational benefits. Mary Helen, do you have any questions at this time?
Are there any special programs or offers for our young people besides? Well, how do you go through the tribe? What all paperwork do you have to fill out?
Okay. So right now we are accepting applications for our summer Kiowa Higher Education Grant. The application for programming is on our website at kiowatribe.org/higher education. So if you go to the Kiowa Tribe website, that's kiowatribe.org, you can find us under the Higher Education tab. If you scroll down to the bottom of our website, you will see our applications are posted on there. That's for the summer. It should be a Higher Education KJIP summer application. And we'll be accepting those even until April the 30th. If you have a young person that's looking to apply for summer application. Our fall application, we're currently revising the application process, and we are going to be accepting fall applications. The deadline for those are July the 1st. And so really, the application part is pretty standard. You tell us, the demographics, a little bit about yourself, where you're going to school. We do need your tribal ID to kind of substantiate, eligibility for our program. But we do need a financial needs analysis and a verification of enrollment that must be filled out by the school and turned into us so we can complete your application. A lot of our students are not understanding that the application, just fill out your part of the application, turn that into us to get your application started. A lot of times schools will, take their time in returning a financial needs analysis and a verification of enrollment. The most important part is don't wait on that information. Go ahead and submit your application. We can update your enrollment information and your financial needs analysis once we get that from the school. But those are the two main deadlines we're working with right now. Summer application, turn that in before April the 30th. And then July the 1st, if you are enrolling in college for the fall semester, you must get that into us by July the 1st.
And is there someone in the office? Sometimes that paperwork can be pretty daunting. Is there someone in the office that will sit down with someone and help them fill the paper out?
So our office is currently closed to the public due to the pandemic. They can always call our office. Someone will answer the phone, and they can walk you through step-by-step over the phone right now. We are also trying to update our submission system to do an online application, even by your phone. We're going to be transitioning to that in the fall semester.
That'd be good, especially with the pandemic and hopefully some of the restrictions will be let up by then, but that's good to know.
Sure. We also are going to have our graduation banquet virtually for any member of our tribe who might be graduating from high school, college, adult vocational technology centers. We'd like for you to be a part of our virtual graduation celebration, which will be basically on Facebook Live, rolling and kind of showing your picture, what program you graduated with. You'll also be afforded an incentive. We're going to have a banquet incentive, a financial incentive, and then a T-shirt for participating in our graduation banquet this year. I know that we'd like to meet in person, but with this pandemic, it's just really not safe for us all right now. So we hope to get back to in-person celebrations next year. But right now, that's where we are with the graduation assistance. And that application for graduation assistance can be found on our website as well at kiowatribe.org.
That's good. Well, thank you, Warren, for all that really good information. And it's good to know about, your veteran experience. And I'm just real proud of you. You're being 15 years in the service. You're being 15 years in the service made me kind of stop and gulp. Yeah, I thought, oh no. but yeah. I'm very proud of you and all the things you're doing for other veterans and for our youth in our tribe. Ray.
Well, thank you.
When I go around, I talk to veterans, and I ask them what percentage they are if they're Vietnam veterans, about percentage-wise as to their disability. And I'm happy to see that there's more veterans that are increasing their disability payments from the VA. I was at 10%. My daughter kept after me. So in 2001, I was in California, Loma Linda, and I met a representative, and he says, well, he listened to my story, got my information. He says, Ray, he said, I know I probably can, when we get the paperwork done, guarantee you 10%. He could really guarantee me, but 10% went up to, and I kept going, filing more paperwork, seeing more doctors and everything. I finally got up to 100%, but I was at 30%, 50%, 70%, 90%, 100%. And that means a lot because I had this general tell me, he said, Ray, he said, you are entitled to it. A lot of veterans don't think they're entitled to it, but you served your country. And even if it was one day or 8 years, 9 months in my case, in Vietnam too, and he says, you're entitled to all you can get. He gets 100%, General Pete Costello. And so we became friends when I was an air traffic controller at Will Rogers. But now there's a veteran center in Norman, South Norman on Highway 9. There's other representatives all over at the VA, the DAV. I think there's one here in Chickasha. But go to them and talk to them and start the paperwork. You are entitled to something, and you should get it. It affords me a better lifestyle. Oh.
Okay, well, I want to thank you, Warren, for being here and giving us all that important information, and look forward to the day when we can all get together in person. Thank you.
Hey, one thing, Mary, real quick, if I may. We still have the Kiowa Veterans Office that's located in Anadarko, Oklahoma. They are another resource that can kind of connect you and help assist with you, our veterans, our Kiowa veterans who might need to find resources to apply for those benefits. We do have our own office. The director is LaRue Guletel. So if you ever have a question for LaRue, you can email her at LGUOLADDLE@kiowatribe.org.
Do they have a telephone number that the people could call?
I'm sure they do. I'll have to get that information, and I'll send it to you. Possibly you can put it on the
website,
that you were talking about,
sure.
Joe.
Sure, if you could get that to me, we'll get it put out. So, Warren, thank you for taking time out of your busy day and speaking to the Kiowa people about these important programs. And we hope to see you at a powwow soon.
Yep. Thank you so much, Joe.
All right,
you have
a
good day.
Aho. All right. That was Warren Wheaton. He currently works for OU, and he is also... he works for the Kiowa tribe as well. Well, is he still not the OU liaison? No, he's not. Okay, well, he works exclusively for the Kiowa tribe in higher ed. Next is our legislative update, and this is a weekly portion of our show. And today we've got District 7 legislator Jacob Sotai and District 5 legislator Anita Johnson to talk to you today. Jacob, are you there? Well, Jacob. Well, Anita, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Well, Anita, since Jacob hasn't made it on yet, you've got the floor. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to offer my condolences to the families that have been affected with COVID-19. I just went to a service this past week over in Carnegie, and want to offer that family my condolences. the constituent was from my district, District 5, and so I worked with her family, and her on a previous loss that she had experienced, and then now her loss. So double loss in that family, and I know it's a hard experience with those young people. So that's a hard experience to go through, I know. That's number one. Number two, we have a new program that Miss Connie Bread has informed us about. And so I want to bring that to the attention of the Kiowa tribe. It's called the Kiowa Tribal Housing Authority Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And it's the overview of it is designed to assist eligible low-income Native American participants with rent, rental arrears, utilities arrears, and home energy costs as defined by the U.S. Secretary of the Department of Treasury. Eligibility is temporary emergency rental assistance program operates under the U.S. Department of Treasury funding in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the applicants must follow this criteria, and there's three. Qualifies for unemployment or has experienced a reduction in household income, incurred significant costs, or experienced a financial hardship due to COVID-19. Number two, demonstrate the risk of experiencing homelessness or housing instability. Three, has a household income at or below 80% of the area median. And I say, well, what's the area median? Okay, right below it was the answer. 80% for one person is $43,960. For two people in a household, 80% of the area median is $50,240. Three people, $56,520. Four people, $62,800. And it goes on up to eight people, $82,896. So in general, since we live in an area where we're designated as a low-income area, I think the majority of our population would qualify for this rental assistance and emergency assistance here offered by the Kiowa Tribal Housing Authority. It says where to apply. And oh, I'll read this other to you too. Applicants who are applying must be Native American, 18 years of age or older, reside in the United States. Preference will be given to households at or below 50% of the area median. I don't know what the difference is in those two figures, but it says that. Or those who have been unemployed for 90 days prior to the application for assistance, and Kiowa tribal members. Where to apply? Kiowa Tribal Housing Authority website, which is www.kiowahousing.com, or email cbread@kiowahousing.com or jware@kiowahousing.com or at the Kiowa Tribal Housing Office, which is located at 1701 East Central Boulevard, Anadarko, and they're open on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. to request an application packet. The Kiowa Tribal Housing Authority will begin to accept completed packets completed applications on Friday, April the 2nd at 8:30 to 4:30. They're not even accepting them yet, but you can pick them up. The documentation needed is the complete and signed application, a copy of your enrollment or CDIB, a copy of a photo ID for all the adults in the household, and social security number for each household member, the original utility bill, I guess, if you're wanting utility help, copy of your current lease, eviction notice or notice to quit, W-9 for all vendors, utility company and for landlords, proof of income for the last 60 days, all adults 18 years of older. If claiming no income, must complete a Kiowa Tribal Housing no income verification form, proof of reduction in income, documentation showing housing instability, 2020 income tax. So that's the front page of this application. And it says, thank you, Kiowa Housing Management. And it's a one of a 7-page application, a lot of writing and signing, and it's available to Kiowa tribal members. So take advantage of that. You need the help, take advantage of it. They've given you several ways to contact them. So it's available through the Housing Authority at Anadarko. The other thing that the legislature is still working on the budget. As you know, in the Constitution, the legislature is charged with budgets and budget modifications, and they can submit a budget at any time. So we're not restricted on budgets that we work on when we can do them or anything else. So we're still working on this year's budget. One of the things that we're looking at working on is some of the things that haven't been funded that were voted on in the KIC meetings in the past. They haven't been completed. And so because of unforeseen circumstances, I haven't seen any indication that we're going to have a KIC meeting this coming Saturday. And this is the first Saturday of April. This is the date that we should be having our KIC meeting. But I have seen no advertisement. I have seen nothing to indicate that we're going to have one. Have had no conversation with the coordinator, so I'm unaware. But the steps that the legislator is taking is to gather up the past resolutions that the Kiowa tribe has passed by vote and look those over to see if there are resolutions that have been voted on that needed funding and have not received that funding and have not been implemented. And at this point, just off the top of my head, I can think of two. And one of them is the elder payment, which is, been voted on, I think, 2 or 3 years ago and has remained at the same amount of $500 because, and I understand, because they could not find the funding to complete that $1,000 payment. Well, we're going to try to get that funding in next year's budget, which is the 21-22 budget. That's what we're working on, the 21-22 budget. And so we'll try to fund that $1,000 to the elders in this coming next year's budget. The other thing that we know that was very important to the Kiowa tribe was the forensic audit that Mr. J.T. Goombay had put forward to the KIC and was voted upon in a ballot vote by the tribe and overwhelmingly passed. And so we want to try to fund that particular item. And those are the two things that this legislature has on the top of my head. I haven't gone through all the resolutions and just fine-tooth combed it to see if there's any more that have been voted on that need funding. Could be. I don't know that answer to that at this moment. But I do want to reassure the Kiowa tribe that we are diligently looking for ways to divert funds to those two, at least those two big projects, to fund those two projects, because I know they're important too. Not that any others are not important, but those two funding sources, those two funding projects are very important to the tribe. And we'll continue to look at the resolutions to see what else has been voted on. And if anybody wants to call us and tell us, you know, that you remember thus and so, I would relish that help. But those are the couple of things that that's taking a lot of my time in District 5's office. So that's about what I'm working on here in District 5's office, Mr. Job.
All right. Hey, Anita, so that forensic audit ballot, I just looked at the results, and that resolution passed. 85% of the tribe voted to have the forensic audit.
Overwhelmingly voted upon, yes, sir.
And what a shock that it hasn't even been started yet. Not really.
Well, it is, it's, yes, the money somehow or another can be found to fund that because it's so expensive. But, you know, I have recently been witness to many things that are paid for, and they're very expensive. So we can find ways to pay for expensive items, and one of those items should be the forensic audit.
I agree. Jacob, are you on with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, Jacob's there. Well, Jacob, go ahead. We've got about 5 minutes for you. So go ahead and say what's on your mind.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Anita. I just would like to add, in the process of reviewing the proposed budget, and it looks like that will be presented to the voters in June, that we would probably urge our citizens to vote against that budget because it is loaded with unnecessary raises and expenditures that are adding to excessive costs to the budget. And in our budget, we have eliminated all the raises, reduced the raises, and I think we might allow a 1% raise, a cost of living raise, in our budget proposal. But ultimately, it is taken away. Some position raises in excess of $12,000. And we think that is outrageous and unnecessary. And so if it does come to that, that our budget will not be on the ballot, then we urge our citizens to vote no on the proposed budget, and that our budget will be more in line with what are real expectations of resources available, unless new resources are found. And we did find that the indirect cost that hadn't been factored in the proposed budget might raise an additional $2 million in revenue because it wasn't factored in accurately. So we'll see what transpires. We also are looking at when the potential American Relief Plan funding will come through, and that will be something that we will have to deal with as well. And from our projections, from some of our estimates, the plan includes an equal distribution of $1 billion to all 570-plus tribes, which will add an additional $1.7 million, but also a way to accurately, or not more accurately, but equitably distribute the $19-plus billion that will be given to tribes. And they're yet to figure out how to account for that distribution, the enrollment process that they will utilize, and how they will distribute the funding ultimately. It's going to be a few weeks down, if not a couple of months down the road. So we may be dealing with this as an prospect of adding it, and we are not sure about if we're able to modify hey, a budget Jacob. To include this.
Hey, Jacob. Yes. So we're running out of time here, but I did have a quick question that is going to be on everyone's mind.
Sure.
Am I to understand that the chairman believes that the deadline is passed for the legislators to act on the budget, and that he has already gone ahead and submitted his budget with all of the egregious raises to the election
yes.
commission to go to a ballot?
Yes.
All right. So if that
yes,
is so, the chairman's budget has gone to the election commission for a vote of the people, mm-hmm. and Kiowa's for a Better Future and Kiowa Talk Radio program urges all Kiowa people to vote no to the chairman's budget because it entails egregious raises for the chairman, nearly to $100,000. And we will outline all of the other areas of malfeasance in that budget on the page here in the coming few days.
Well, it may not be malfeasance, but it's certainly exorbitant to the resources that we have available. So that would be the consideration of most of our legislature, I believe, that the citizens would not allow that budget to pass.
Well, I certainly agree with you. Anyway, we are running out of time. Jacob, thank you for you and Anita taking time out of your day to be on the show. Appreciate it.
Certainly, Joe.
All right. Thanks, Anita.
Thank you.
All right. That will be it for Kiowa Talk today. Got a couple of announcements. Gigi Palmer will be the Kiowa Elder of the Week next week. And we would like to thank all of our special guests for speaking today and all of the Koigu for turning into our program on KACO New Country 98.5 FM. Please pray for the Kiowa people. And as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now. And I've just been informed Mary Helen Deere has one announcement to make, and we'll let her do that.
Yes. I saw in the news this morning that Office Depot and Staples are laminating your vaccination cards for free. So I would urge all people to go to Office Depot or Staples and get your shot card laminated, because with the new restrictions coming in, they may require in order for you to go to a meeting or church or whatever to show your vaccination card. So get vaccinated and get your card. Thank you.
All right. Aho, Mary Helen Deer. And everybody, all Koigu people, have a good week. Thank you for tuning in.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.